faith-filled finance. All major UK bank accounts. One app. Provision is built by Christians to help you steward what God's given you. Track your spending, saving, and giving in one place. Join the waitlist now at provision.money and get your first month free. That's provision.money.
It's my joy to welcome you to the Leadership Father Show that aims to help you lead as Christ would have you lead wherever he has placed you. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and whether you listen live on a Sunday or one of the many thousands who catch up via the podcast, it's great that you can join us. A reminder that you can buy my book, The Leadership Road Less Travelled, at the Premier Store. It's sadly the case that not every local church have youth as part of their congregation. But for those that do, serious questions are being asked about how best to encourage them into faith and discipleship. The era where you simply employed a cool guitar-playing youth worker with an earring seems to have passed, with many churches opting for other arrangements, some including youth workers, others involving children's workers too. Well, to talk about leadership when it comes to young people, I'm joined by Tim Goff, who is the Centre Director for Llandudno Youth for Christ in North Wales and the author of a new book, Rebooted, Reclaiming Youth Ministry for the Long Haul. So welcome, Tim, to the Leadership File.
Andy, thank you for having me on.
So you're in Llandudno, but you're not from North Wales as such?
No, I'm not. I'm from Blackpool originally, but been here for the last 8 years.
Okay, so sort of up the coast a little bit, but not so far. But anyway, thanks for the book. You're a real youth worker. You've got stories of wearing chicken costumes, dyeing your hair green, and getting drunk on communion wine.
Yeah, that was actually an accident, but always fun.
Yes,
yeah, no, I'm a real youth worker.
Well, I'm obviously slightly tempting people into buying your book and enjoying it. And in fairness, those are humorous parts of a quite serious and sensible book, it has to be said. So thank you for it. So how did you get into youth work?
Well, I fell into youth work, to be perfectly honest. I was training to be a vicar, but I did that quite young. I graduated at 21. And youth positions were really the only positions you could get at a 21-year-old. So I fell into youth work thinking, like everyone else did, that I would one day graduate into big ministry. But I'm really glad that I didn't. I'm really glad that I stuck it at youth ministry. I think there's a lot of life to be had there.
Yeah, good. And you're now in North Wales?
I am. I did 7 years in London, and I've been in Wales for the last 8 years.
Okay, well, good stuff. And North Wales would be partly Welsh-speaking, I'm guessing.
It is partly Welsh speaking, so some of the work we do is Welsh and English, but the area I'm in is quite a touristy area. It's a retirement town, so it's mostly English speaking where I am.
Okay, and you're described as centre director, but what does that mean in terms of leadership?
Okay, so I manage the Youth for Christ Centre in North Wales. So a lot of what I do is I report to a trustee board, and I manage a team of volunteers. And we run various youth work projects, mission projects in schools and the community. Most of what I do, though, is spending time training and supporting and developing a small core of leaders.
Okay. And so how many would that include? What sort of numbers are you talking?
There's about 10 people in that small core. A couple of them are team, a couple of them are on placement, a couple of them are volunteers. And they would run most of the projects together. And then we have a pool of maybe 30 or 40 volunteers beyond that.
Right. And reflecting on your time as a youth worker and a Youth for Christ leader, any particular things you've learned about leadership that you could, you want to distill down?
I got a few things. I think the first one is I'm not God. I'd like to
That's
be.
That's always good to know.
It's a good start, isn't it? but no, I'm not God. I need my team. They need me. Not all the right answers or the best ideas are going to originate with me. We're in this together. I think another thing I've learned is that I'm not necessarily the best model for leadership. I need to recruit and develop people who are not like me. An amateur mistake I made for years was just surrounding myself with people just like me. And I think I've only just begun to surround myself with people who are very different to me, who can fill needs that I can't fill. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about unity and diversity, and I think they don't work without each other. I think you want a unified and healthy team. It's got to be made up of lots of different people.
Sure. And your book is a call to bring the Bible back into youth work. You've got particular concerns, either things you observed or things you thought through?
Yeah, I've got passions and I've got concerns. My passion is I love my Bible. I think my Bible's brilliant. I think every time you read the Bible, God makes stuff in you. He can't quite help himself. When he spoke, the world was made. My concern is if we were to pull on the thread of modern youth ministry, whether we would find the Bible at the end of it. I wonder if what we'd actually find is some form of humanistic youth work with some Bible wedged in later. It's not like we don't love our Bibles, but I just don't think we know them very well.
Right. And do you think that's in part because youth workers themselves are not particularly Bible people, or is it because they are, but they don't think that the Bible is the place, you know, that is appropriate tool to use? They're trying to start a bit further away, and they're assuming, therefore, the Bible is not going to be relevant to that task.
I think there's a few reasons. I think we are growing up with a culture of biblical literacy in church. A Comra survey recently found that only 35% of churchgoers in the UK read their Bibles regularly. And so we are growing up with biblically illiterate youth ministers. But there are some false assumptions as well. There's some false assumptions that the Bible only works with certain types of people, or only works with believers, or only works with church kids, or only works in a classroom setting. I think that's nonsense. I think the Bible's living and active, and it's a dynamic book, and we've just got to get stuck into it.
Yeah. I mean, I know some churches are keen not to replicate school in their youth and children's work, partly because many of those who attend the groups are not believers. Now, that may be part of the misconception that you've just alluded to. But so they don't major on the Bible. And you obviously, you're thinking, actually, there could be dangers down the road for that approach.
Oh, yeah. I mean, part of what we are trying to do in youth work is to create young worshippers for life. And when you develop a young worshipper, they're equipped to move house, move jobs, move town, go to different universities, and know how to find a good, faithful group of believers, know how to engage with God in a different setting. You've got to equip them to do that, and you can't equip them if you're not going to support them in the Bible. But again, I think the idea that the Bible only works in like a schoolroom setting is just a bit weird. I understand where people get it from, but the Bible is living and active, and it can be taught as dynamically as anything else. We just have to live in it ourselves. I think the more we live in the scriptures, the more we can breathe them to others in a really healthy way.
Yeah. Tim, when you were talking about your role, you talked about the facilitation dimension of it. And I guess you see youth work as a facilitation role, as opposed to the kind of image that might be generated by a kind of youth pastor as such.
Yeah, I think the super isolated rock star youth pastor is not a model you find in the Bible. I understand there's a pastoral element to youth ministry, and I wouldn't ever want to dilute that. But the best youth workers, and the youth workers that stick around for a long time, are the youth workers that know how to facilitate the whole church body, how to enable the believing body together to raise young people. And I think that's the model you see in the Bible. You see the whole nation of Israel working together to raise young people in the way they should go. And I think the danger of not doing that, the danger of seeing yourself as the sole worker, is you'll end up driving a wedge of segregation deeper into the heart of the church, driving the young and old apart. And I think we need each other. I think the church need the youth and the youth need the church, and the result of separating those two and being the superstar youth worker on one end of the spectrum and leaving the church at the other is failing youth work and shrinking churches.
I enjoyed the book very much. You very helpfully outline four approaches to youth work and look at the weaknesses of each, and I think it will be perhaps valuable to consider these, certainly from many obviously leaders listening are not directly youth leaders, but they are seeking to make sure good youth work happens, and maybe they're a little confused about the different models that might be available. So perhaps you could outline the four models that you see, and perhaps how, you know, the integration of those could be appropriate for church leaders listening.
Yeah, I'll have a good crack, and I'll try and be as brief as possible, but do jump in or throw a chair at me if I'm being boring.
Thank you.
But yeah, there's four. Okay, let's start with something really basic. Youth ministry is a baby. It's in its infancy. Youth ministry as we know it today is only about 45, 50 years old. It's a new concept for the church. And so all the models we've got are still working their identities out.
Right.
But there are four main models. I think most youth work will fall under one of these or be a mix of a couple of them. The one people tend to know is the incarnational model. The incarnational model is the idea that Jesus came into a particular culture at a particular time in a particular place, and so should we. We should immerse ourselves in the culture of young people, and as a result of that, almost live like one of them and open up our whole lives to them. I think there's some issues with that. I think it's a little bit inauthentic. I think it's a little creepy. We're not a young person. But I also think it's incredibly unhealthy to ignore the boundaries that this model rejects. I think a healthy model of youth ministry wouldn't be so immersive in that way. The next one will be the funnel model, which is a business model, really. It's an idea that you have a wide angle lens to start with, a high saturation project. So that would be a crowd project with no real gospel content. Lots of people come to it like a concert. And then from that, you invite them into a slightly more specific group, maybe an alpha course. There they'd make a profession of faith, and then you'd invite them to another group, maybe a discipleship group or a church, and you funnel them down from an easy-to-attend event with very little content into a much harder-to-attend event with much deeper content. And it's a lot of American youth ministries based on. My problem with it is it's a little bit bait and switch. You're not calling people to follow Jesus. We're calling people to a crowd event and then slowly introducing Jesus to them. And Jesus didn't do that. He said, follow me. The third model would be the hub model or the worship hub model, which is usually there's one big hub project, like a youth church. And all of the projects are designed to filter people into that hub. I think I struggle with that one because it only tends to work with one type of young person, often the extrovert. And it does move away from the rest of the church quite easily. The last model would be the intergenerational model, which is getting a lot more traction in conservative churches. And I've got a lot of respect for this model. It certainly looks the most biblical. The idea is don't do youth work, just do mixed all-age worship work. And I quite respect that. I like that. There's a lot in that to enjoy. The problem with it is it doesn't tend to work with atypical families, and most families, I think, are atypical in some way or another. Those are the four models, and they've all got good bits, and they've all got some issues.
Well, you're listening to Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Tim Goff. Tim is the author of a book, Rebooted, Reclaiming Youth Ministry for the Long Haul. We'll be back just after this. Welcome back to the Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Tim Goff. Tim is the Centre Director for Llandudno Youth for Christ. He's the author of a new book, Rebooted, Reclaiming Youth Ministry for the Long Haul. We were talking before the break of four different models for youth ministry, and Tim was kind of hinting at some of the strengths and weaknesses of each. Tim, in the book, you kind of go for sort of slightly integration of some of these, some of the best bits.
Yeah, I would say so. I think if you start with a model, you end up with that model structure and styles. But I think if you start with the Bible, you start with the foundations of what does the scripture tell us about young people, about working with young people, about discipleship, you end up with a whole new model, something different. And I think it brings the best out of these models without slipping into the dangers.
Yeah. And you have a section on mentoring in your book, or at least how you're not a fan of the word mentoring. So what would you say is a good way of working with young people for church leaders listening? What should they be hoping for from their youth leaders, or if they're looking to appoint someone? What would you regard as a good healthy, wise, disciple forming approach?
Yeah, well, I think mentoring is a bit of an odd word. It's a word that was hijacked by the Enlightenment, and it messed about with a little bit of, you know, mythology, Homer's Odyssey mythology, and it ended up in a place which I'm not entirely comfortable with. I think modern mentoring is a little bit like making carbon copies of yourself, trying to make little yous, which means you become the glass ceiling to their development. But the broader practice of spending individual time with small groups of young people or one-to-one, I think is really great. I think any youth minister worth their salt is going to be putting a lot of their time into mentoring in the broader sense of discipleship, and at least training their team and other people in the church to do the same. I think when you're in a discipleship relationship that works, you're helping that young person go further than you would go yourself, which is kind of the opposite of what classical mentoring says. You're helping them go further than you would go. And a lot of what you need to do to make that work, I think, is to think, how do you make yourself unnecessary? How's the relationship going to end? How are you going to hand them over to something bigger than you? How are you going to give them the tools and traits they need to have their own relationship with God that's not dependent on you? I think that's healthy discipleship.
Yeah, and it gives a lie to the myth that you can't, you know, the leadership lead is you. You know, that's some leaders saying, oh, you can't take people further than you can go. Well, actually, yeah, that's nonsense, really, isn't it?
I think we're all in trouble if that's true.
and I was pleased, it has to be said, I mean, maybe this is just me, but that you believe the disciples are probably mid to late teenagers, because I think there is evidence for that, and you kind of outline that in the book. I just wonder what that tells us about what we might expect from young people.
Absolutely. I think the disciples were young people. Glib way of putting it would be, I think they were the first youth club.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't stake my claim on that, but I think they were a bunch of young people. And it's not just the disciples, it's everywhere throughout the Bible. It's Rebecca and Joseph, Samuel, David, Esther, Josiah, Daniel, Mary. There's lots of young people in the Bible, and God seems to use young people all the way through salvation history. I wonder if the reason God does it is because they're unexpected. When a young person does something incredible, we get excited saying, wow, that's amazing. They must have had help from God. If I was to stand up right now and pick up my car outside, people would assume there's a magic trick going on. They'd assume there were some strings. They'd look for something beyond me. Yeah. And I think when God uses young people, people look beyond the young people and they see God. Mm. I think for that reason, our expectations for young people should be sky high. A lot of what we're supposed to do is to help young people have their own relationship with God and then get out of their way.
Yeah. Now, Tim, the structure of your book looks at the different kind of elements of the Bible and the way in which there's the law and the Psalms and the prophets and the Gospels and the epistles and kind of distills values on regarding youth work and youth and ministry from those sections. I'm not suggesting you kind of outline all of them, but whether as you were doing your research and kind of creating those chapters, was any of them particularly that grabbed you and you thought, crumbs, yeah, as I'm researching this has really come alive to me?
Oh gosh, yes. I mean, the whole book goes through the whole Bible, but very, very broadly. It's there to give youth workers more confidence and competence with the scriptures. But honestly, I think the first chapter, which is all about passing on teaching to the next generation, teaching the whole counsel of God. I think what I tend to do, and I think what a lot of us tend to do, is continually teach my favorite bits. Hmm. There's bits of the Bible that I really like, that I really know well, that I know I can argue clearly. So I just keep teaching those over and over from different angles. Hmm. But we're really challenged by the scriptures to teach the whole counsel of God, to find propositional truth about Jesus in every section of the Bible. And there's pieces of the Bible that I never touch with young people. And I've been really challenged by that. The whole Bible speaks about truth, and we should dig into all of it. We should reach for all of it. And I think that's the healthiest way of raising young people, because the questions they have will come up in the scriptures.
Now, and this will be a tricky question perhaps to answer, but I mean, you've been, you've written this book, but you also, you're a practitioner in the field. What have been the challenges for you in, I don't know, maybe there was already in Llandudno a culture of use of Bible in Youth for Christ. So that may be the case. You can answer that in a minute. But how has it been for you trying to make sure that your values for Bible have been instilled in your team and in the ministry that you do?
Well, it is worth saying there is a great love for the Bible in Youth for Christ nationally. The new director, Neil O'Boyle, wrote a sidebar for the book, has endorsed it. He's a great lover of the Bible in mission and ministry. For me, it's come down to what does it mean to use the scriptures in every single part of my ministry? And that's been a challenge, but it's also been very exciting. A few years ago, I started an experiment. I just said, I wonder what will happen if I use nothing but the Bible as a resource in all the projects I do.
Wow.
And I did. So in detached work, in schools work, in lessons, assemblies, I didn't reach for printed material. I just reached for my Bible. I changed how it was taught, and I gave a lot of it over to discussion and debate and conversation, which really helped feed it. But I've never looked back. The Bible is such an incredible tool when it's used properly.
That's fabulous to hear. The reaction from particularly in schools?
Going well, but the thing is with any kind of schools work is we've spent a long time building credibility. Yeah. So we serve the curriculum very specifically. We know the curriculum, we know their enrichment needs, we know what the school is struggling in, and we offer to serve for free in those areas. So we spent a lot of time building credibility and really serving the needs of that school, recognizing that the school has needs that we can probably meet that are more than just me trying to manipulate my message across.
The book, how can people get a copy of the book? It's called Rebooted, Reclaiming Youth Ministry for the Long Haul.
Yes, I would love for people to get a copy of the book. You can buy it direct from IVP's website on ivpbooks.com, but you can also find it on Eden, Good Book Company, Ten of O's, Amazon. It's around, basically.
Sure, and you could do like I did and get it, download it on Kindle and yes. Read it on your iPad or wherever, or your Kindle reader. So that's how I got to read it. And for me, and this is a tip for readers or listeners, I use the highlight section. So I highlighted bits. So I've got a whole page or several pages of the highlights for me of the material that that particularly struck me as I was going through. So then I can now download it onto a Word document and I put that in my little library. So yeah,
that's great. that's fantastic. So I love the Kindle for that.
Well, indeed, it's a great tool. So if a leader's listening, and in fact most of the books that I've read recently, in fact probably the last 40 or 50 books have largely been done on Kindle. I mean, I prefer the physical book, but actually the Kindle highlights for me is a real tool, because then I can have a summary of the material that I've enjoyed, but also I can quote it in articles and courses that I run. So yeah,
that's a great idea.
So there we go. Good. And so as you looking at Llandudno, any particular focus for the future?
At the moment, an awful lot of what we're trying to do is develop our ministry across Wales. Wales is a fantastically spiritual place with really spiritually hungry and curious young people. Youth for Christ is geared to facilitate those kind of conversations. So we're really hoping to launch more Youth for Christ centres across Wales.
Oh, that sounds fabulous. Good. Great. Well, it's been super to chat with you, Tim. As listeners will gather, I'm enthusiastic for your book. So I think you're drawing people back to some of the core things that really need to be part of youth ministry. Not knocking some of the other elements anyway, but actually the Bible needs to be at the heart of what we do and how we think about young people and about enabling them to become disciples of Christ. So thank you for the book, and trust it goes really well.
Thank you. Thank you for the encouragement, and thanks for having me on.
Bless you. So you're listening to The Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I was joined again by Tim Goff. The book, Rebooted, Reclaiming Youth Ministry for the Long Haul. Go, of course, to the on-demand section of Premier's website, and you can get archived versions of The Leadership File. You can also download it via iTunes. Some of you, I know, are listening via podcast, and so you can go where you normally get your podcast and get a copy of The Leadership File and listen to it any time of the day or night. So I look forward to your company again, if you're via the radio at Sunday at 3:30 or online when it comes to your device. Thanks for tuning in.